And I'd ask if you would take your copy of God's Word this morning and turn with me back to Genesis 26. We'll be looking this morning at a rather long section at the very end of chapter 26, just two verses, but then the whole of chapter 27 and then nine verses of chapter 28. This is sort of transition between the story of Isaac as we saw it in chapter 26 and now dealing more specifically with the two sons, and then in the remainder of chapter 28 really beginning the story proper of Jacob. And we'll be reading really the whole of this, all of 27 and then a few verses extra on either side. Before we read this portion of God's Word together, let's look to Him in prayer. Our Father and our God, we again bring praises before You and give thanks for Your great goodness to us in setting this Word before us. Lord, we thank You that You have revealed Yourself to us, that You have told us of the things that have occurred, the way in which You work throughout all of history to bring Your purposes to bear, to bring Your Son into this world, and to bring the news of His coming to us. And Father, we pray that as we sit beneath that Word this morning, that You would work in our hearts by the power of Your Spirit, transforming us more and more into the image of Your Son as that Word comes forth. Grant us these things, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 26, beginning in verse 34. Let's hear this morning the Word of the Lord. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemah, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. Now it came to pass, when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now, therefore, please take your weapon, your quiver, and your bow, and go out into the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Now go to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food for them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it, that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." And he went out and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in her house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Where are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you've told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me and I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. And then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also made his savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly called Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said to Esau, I have made him your master. And all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do for you now, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of the heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck." So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved of you also, of you both in one day?" And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?" Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Parad Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Parad Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Parad Aram to take himself a wife from there. And that he had blessed him, and that as he blessed him, he charged him, saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Also, Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife in addition to the wives he had. Thus ends our reading of this portion of God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Once again, we see the people of God, the family that God intends to use to bring his blessings into this world, filled with problems. As you go through this, no one in this narrative comes off clean. Everyone in this narrative is committing one sin or another, demonstrating one foolish act or another. Well, we can just begin thinking about Isaac. He's old and frail and blind. Those are no moral failings on his part. But he also comes across as one who has grown spiritually blind, or at least spiritually dim of sight. Surely he knows the oracle that was spoken to his wife concerning his sons. Surely he knows that the younger is going to rule over the older, and that the older is going to serve the younger, that God intends to bless Jacob and not Esau. And yet, Isaac purposes to bless Esau, the son that he loves, the one who despised his birthright, as we saw recently, the one who marries Hittite women, who marries daughters of Ishmael, the one who, it seems, was loved for no better reason than his ability to cook food that his father loved. Isaac comes across as a man who has been blinded spiritually by his love of earthly things and has despised the plan, the oracle that God has given concerning his children. Well, we can only guess that Isaac knew that oracle, but we know Rebekah knew it because it was spoken to her. She knows that Jacob is going to be the one through whom God is going to work the blessings of Abraham. And yet she doesn't trust God enough to bring his purposes about without a little deception on her part and on the part of her son. If we do not deceive Isaac, then the plan of God, the oracle that God spoke to me, could not possibly come to pass. And if it's bad enough that she engages in this deception, she brings her son in with her. Jacob's not an innocent child by any means, but he at least begins to participate in this because his mother commands him to. "You will sin against your father by lying to him," is basically what she says. Then, of course, we have Esau. We've already listed at least some of his failures. He despised his birthright and gave it up for a bowl of stew. He marries outside of the covenant line. He is no problem bringing Hittite women who would have brought their Hittite religions into this family. And even goes, again, at the end of this passage, goes back to Ishmael, the son of Abraham that was rejected and cut off from the covenant blessings. He goes there to find a wife, a third wife, and depending on how you read the end of that, maybe even a fourth wife from that family. And what it really comes down to is Esau has rejected God's covenant. He has no care for the seed that God is going to use to build a nation. He has no care for the blessings that only God can give. And in the end, he's shown to be a man of anger and a man of spite. Shows anger towards his brother. In fact, he shows a murderous rage, does he not? And then he's spiteful toward his mother. If two Hittite wives bring grief, how about a couple of more just to throw in there? Isaac, Rebekah, Esau, and then we also come to Jacob. Mother made me do it is really no excuse. He's a grown man. He should know better. He does know better. But just as he desired the birthright and was willing to manipulate his brother into receiving that birthright, so too he desires his father's blessing, even if he must deceive his father to get that. And once he's there inside, dressed in the goat skins, a bowl full of his father's favorite stew in hand, he has to tell lie upon lie upon lie to get through this. No doubt in some subtle way, God's word is reminding us that one lie will rarely get you through. You're going to have to tell many lies to get through whatever deception you may have planned. And Jacob even brings God into this. When his father says, "Wow, that was fast. Oh, your God brought it to me." As if to say, God is blessing what I'm doing right now. I wonder if you had been in heaven, in the throne room of God Almighty, on this day, when all the angels are looking down, I wonder if you had glanced around that throne room to see those angels looking into the things that God is doing on this earth. I wonder if you would have seen any other expression than utter bewilderment, than perplexed confusion. The unspoken question, because angels are not going to question God, but that unspoken question, this is the family you're going to use? You're going to bless the earth through these people? What in heaven is God thinking by calling these people to receive His covenant? But you know, as much as this passage tells us things about Isaac and Rebekah, about Jacob and Esau, it also tells us something about all of God's people. You know, as sinful as these four individuals are there any of us who can claim we are better? Now, surely our understanding of God and His covenant of grace is fuller. We know Christ, after all. But is there anyone among us who would proclaim themselves to be without even these kinds of sins? No one here who has ever desired something enough to lie or cheat to get it. No one who's ever been angry enough at someone to kill, even if you weren't bold enough to carry out the deed. No one here who's ever responded to the disapproval of a parent with spite or contempt. No one who's ever doubted God's ability to bring about His covenant promises in the face of barriers that we can't see past. It tells us a great deal about all of us as a people of God, does it not? And yet what this passage really is seeking to show us is the character of our God. Because this God chose this family to be the heir of the promise. Spiritually blind Isaac, spiritually weak Rebekah, spiritually confused Jacob. Perhaps to remind us that if God were to work His purposes out through any family on this earth, deceitful, contemptuous, foolish sinners is all that He would find. There's no other kind of people. But what these passages do is to provide deceitful, contemptuous, foolish sinners such as us with a grand measure of hope. Because the power of God's covenant is not found in our faithfulness, but in the promises that God has made. The promises that He's made to Abraham, to Isaac, that He will make in just one more section to Jacob. The promise that is given to us and that is received by faith. It's not because of what we do. It's all because of who He is and at least in this time period, what He will accomplish. And for us, what He has accomplished in Jesus Christ. That is the power of God's covenant. And there is great power in faith in Jesus Christ, even for wretched sinners like us. But even in the midst of all of that, God is perhaps subtly reminding us of something He intends to do with all of us. You see, God promises in His gospel to look upon us as Isaac looked upon Jacob. Not blinded by old age or infirmity, and not fooled by our pitiful attempts, our deceitful schemes. Rather, God is going to look at us the way Isaac looks at Jacob because He chooses to, because He promises to. You see, my friends, when God looks at us, He chooses not to see us as we are, but only to see His beloved Son. We come into His presence wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it is as if He reaches out and touches our garment and says, "This is the garment of my Son." And when we draw near, He smells the aroma of the Holy Spirit that He has poured out upon us. And if God were to ask any of us, Are you truly my son? We can and will answer with full assurance and full confidence, "Yes, I am." Not by nature, and not by works, not by deception. I am your son by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Where Isaac was deceived by the clothing of Jacob's elder brother, we will be received by God with the clothing of our elder brother. He will not be fooled. He will choose to see us wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And yet, as we look at this story, there's one other figure here. There's another son. There's a son who rejected the covenant. There's a son who despised his birthright and was left weeping before the Father, longing for a blessing he could not, he would not receive. And so just as there is great hope for all of us who have faith in Jesus Christ, that on that day we will be like Jacob, received the fullness of God's blessing only because of our elder brother. So it will be on the last day for all those who reject the Son, for all those who go their own way and refuse to cling to Christ in faith. They will be left weeping in the presence of the Father, and there will be no blessing left for them. If you're here this morning and you do not know the love and the grace of this God, if you don't consider yourself to be a sinner, and because of that, you find no reason to put your hope and your faith in the salvation that Jesus Christ provides, then you need to understand what this text is reminding us is that these promises are also held before you. Either you believe in Christ and are saved only because of His righteousness granted to you, or you reject Jesus and you are cut off. There is no third option. There is no other way. When you come to stand before the throne on judgment day, you will either be clothed in the righteousness of Christ by faith, or you will stand in garments soiled by your own sin, by your own refusal to believe. The gospel says that God is right now at this very moment willing to look upon you with grace and favor. God is willing to save you, to forgive all your sins through what Christ has accomplished on the cross. All you must do is repent and believe. Acknowledge that you are no different than Isaac, no different than Rebekah, no different than Jacob, but you want to be different than Esau. You want the blessing that only God can give. And then believe in Christ. Repent and believe. Believe that He came as God's only Son, that He lived a life of perfect obedience, so that He can wrap you with that perfect righteousness. Believe that He died in your place as a perfect sacrifice for all your sins. And then by God's grace, you will no longer be counted a son like Esau. But God will transfer you from that kingdom to the kingdom of His Son. And you will know the hope that is presented here. My friends, we are all of us sinners. The only difference is grace. The grace that worked powerfully in the giving of Jesus Christ. The grace that worked powerfully even in this wretched family. The family of Isaac and Rebekah, the grace that God holds out to each of us this day. Grace for salvation and grace to see us through all things, even our own sinful families, even through our own sin. Praise and thanks and glory be to this God for who He is. And all that He has accomplished for us. Let's pray together. Father, we come to You this morning, Your children, clothed in the righteousness of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, You accept us this morning, not because Your eyes have grown dim or Your wits have left You. You accept us because You choose to see us as You see Your Son, perfect in holiness, righteousness, and understanding. Father, we know we are not by nature, but we give You praise and thanks that You have declared us to be these things by grace. Father, we pray this morning, again, for any here or even those whom we know that have not trusted in Your Son. We pray that You would shower that grace upon them, that You would pour out Your Spirit upon them and give them that ability that they lack within themselves even to turn from their sin and trust in You. And Father, we pray that as we contemplate these things, that You would continue to strengthen us in our faith and our hope and in our love, and that You would cause us to rejoice that You are a God who will use even sinful human beings such as us to work Your purposes out. Father, we pray all these things in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.